In the infinite void of the undertow, outside of the flow of time itself, there are currently 6 people, arranged in 2 rows of 3 each. The forces of Penelope Rodon Lane are currently advancing towards you with pretty clear maleficent intent. I feel like I don't need to explain that part at this point. And I think they don't go at you one-to-one. I do think Penelope is going to stalk towards Abigail pretty directly, but I think both of the other two, who, just for simplicity, I will name as Cassandra Xylem and Sammy Snap Weaver, they're both going towards Ilva. I think, honestly, Rudy, neither of them's paying you that much attention. They're not, like, actively ignoring you, but, you know.
I mean, that makes sense. I'm really not a physical threat when you get right down to it.
That's true. It is all about having, you're the idea person, you know? You are just constantly percolating really good ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. I would like to investigate these three.
All right. Just, like, trying to get a feel for what their deal is?
Yeah, just, like, because I assume they're alternate timeline versions of us, so they're probably going to have, like, similar but not quite identical power sets, maybe. I don't know what's going on with alternate me, since it seems like they're ready to fight, which I wouldn't be, but, can you give me their names again real quick?
Sure. The not Abigail is Penelope Rodon Lane.
Uh-huh.
The not Ilva is Cassandra Xylem.
Uh-huh.
And the not you is Sammy Snap Weaver.
Okay. Penelope, Cassandra, and Sammy. Got it. And yes, I would like to go ahead and do an investigate on these three jabronis.
So I think I might play this one slightly different than usual. I think it will still be all 3 cards. But since your genius is 3 and there's 3 of them, I think rather than having you necessarily ask from the standard list of questions, maybe just give you a general sense of what you can gather about them from your current vantage point.
Sure.
All right. So your cards are going to be the devil. You get what you want at a price you can't afford. Uh-huh. Judgment. Your past failures catch up to you.
Uh-huh.
And temperance. You're met with an equal and opposite reaction.
Okay. Well, for the devil, let's use that on Penelope.
All right. I know exactly how to play this.
Mm-hmm.
So as Penelope begins to approach Abigail, you catch a flash of something in her eyes. You see, it is, for lack of better words, like a kaleidoscope in there.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know, a standard iris, you are seeing a reflection of the void around you, kind of split and fractalized into several different images. But even though it's a reflection, you can see that there is a smaller Penelope in each and every one of those images. And I think as she is approaching Abigail, she cracks her knuckles and goes,
"All right, so do me a favor. Can you just make this real quick for me? Just stand right there. Let me take care of this. That'll be the easiest for both of us, right?"
Hey, whoa, hold on. What's up?
What do you mean, what's up? I feel like it's pretty obvious what's up. We're about to kill you, all 3 of you.
Right, but like, how come, though?
Well, you know, it's partly ideological in that as our sort of, you know, original timeline counterparts, you being here represents a philosophical challenge to our own existence. There's something I'm just uncomfortable with, of knowing that there's a version of me from before I ever existed. I'm sure you can understand. But there's also the practical concern of, you're probably going to have your own, you know, whole aims going on, and that makes you a threat, and I don't like it when there's threats to us.
And as this is all happening, Rudy, I think you're also noticing her voice is echoing, and you're starting to come to the realization it's probably not a good idea to look or listen to her too hard, and that's what you've been doing.
Oh, that's not good. Okay. All right. Not to interrupt the dialogue, but I should probably use my other cards.
Absolutely.
For judgment, I'm going to use that on Cassandra.
All right, Cassandra Xylem is surrounded by a haze that's getting thicker every moment. Like, she basically has just a cloud of fog around her. It is very difficult to even see where she is amidst all those clouds.
Mm-hmm.
And what I do think you can tell just intuitively, you don't want to touch those. And I think as you're realizing this, you notice your uniform has actually gotten a little bit beat up, and I don't think you noticed it until now. It hasn't been a problem because your gas mask is secure and you haven't been, you know, getting the shit kicked out of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's occurring to you that you are probably less protected than anyone else here if that fog gets too close to you.
Okay, okay. And then, appropriately enough, I feel like I should use Temperance on Sammy.
All right, I'm just gonna so here's what happens, here's what the deal is with Sammy.
Mm-hmm.
I think as Cassandra is approaching Ilva, she's definitely taking sort of point, you know, approaching first, but then as she gets closer, she hangs back a bit, like she doesn't want to close the distance all the way. Sammy keeps moving forward, and there's kind of a confident grin on their face, and they're just like, so, you're Ilva, right?
Yes, it seems I'm very popular right now.
Well, I don't know if popular is the right word for it, but, you know, there's two of us and one of you, which I figure, I'm told that should make this pretty simple, all things considered, and let me tell you, person who talks to me is extremely trustworthy, and you see what I can only describe as a deviant art OC on Sammy's back, you know, one angel wing, one devil wing.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of pops her head around their shoulder and is like, yeah, that's right. We're going to beat your ass, we are.
Oh, no, they have Cockney Mastamon.
I don't know what that is. I never watched no Digimon.
But you knew what it
is
was.
Is it anything like Absol? Well, you know, I'm familiar with the naming conventions by pop cultural osmosis is what they call it over on TV Tropes. But the point is, you know, just because I know the naming convention doesn't mean I know the individual Digimon now, does it?
I mean, I wouldn't have put together that that was what she was talking about.
Well, I suppose that's why I'm smarter than you two, innit?
And I think she gives Sammy a little high five. yes, Abigail, do you want to deal in?
Oh, yeah, I'll deal in, sure.
All right, what did I decide you were going to get? You can have... Da-da-da-da-da. Let me go through my notes. You can have the Gamer, the Navigator, or the Inhuman.
Gamer, Navigator, Inhuman.
Luke, while you're looking through that, it occurs to me... I said that everybody gets a master move for this final session.
Yeah.
So why don't Iris and Mike go over what they picked?
Oh, yeah, sure. Since the Blight never got any master moves, at least not yet, I took one from the Alchemist playbook and I renamed it to Infect the World. When you achieve an impossible, incredible victory against impossible odds, your Eidolon radiates raw transformative power. Declare one change you want to see in the world. This change occurs immediately. You can only use this move once ever.
All right.
We know from history that I can be trusted with this power.
Yes.
Oh, most certainly. Mike, what about you?
I took Perfect Deduction when investigating. I can answer the first question I ask myself and just decide what the answer is. I technically could have done that on the last thing, but it felt not the best to burn it immediately, so...
Well, also, it says when you play a positive card, and you didn't get any of those.
Right, that's true. Okay.
But yes.
And I took High Roller, which just lets me spend two hold to use master moves from my active playbook instead of just advanced moves. But yes, this works how I want it to, so I will take the Inhuman, but I'm currently... I guess I will pop one hold immediately to use Facade, so as far as anyone can tell, I just look normal.
Fantastic.
Oh, that's a starting move. I don't even need to use hold. Never mind.
I believe that... Okay, so you still have three hold.
Yeah. So in that case, I think to Penelope, I just say, like, hold on, okay, wait a second. Have you considered that, like, listen, I'm really cool, and given that you're me, you must also be really cool. What if we were just chill about it?
Oh, I'm extremely cool. The thing is, I'm definitely cooler than you. I think that kind of goes without saying at this point.
Well, you just met me, so I feel like that's really jumping to conclusions.
Okay, no, please, tell me all about you, and I can tell you about me, and we can just compare our experiences at length. And while we're doing that, I guess there's no need for us to fight.
Great, there you go. I mean, I don't know if anyone remembers, back, you know, in the first episode, I made a smoke dolphin jump through smoke rings. Objectively, pretty fucking cool.
That was pretty hot, yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry, are you two together? I didn't realize.
No. We just have, you know, mutual respect for each other, and also I think it's pretty cool when she does hot shit.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, I'm open to it, but, like, we haven't really had that discussion.
Yeah, we've been kind of busy, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, I can tell. You've really been making a mess of shit, and I want to make it clear, I don't have that against you. I know there's all kinds of organizational issues as a reason that we decided to storm in and just kind of blow the shit up out of this place, but,
See, you're complaining about organizational issues, and that sounds less cool than me.
Okay, but counterpoint, check out this. And she is going to flip her hair so that it kind of billows in a non-existent breeze for a little bit before settling.
Fuck, I wish I had the Vanguard thing that, like, to resist being intimidated.
Oh, that's fun. It's like you've got a dramatic breeze following you the entire time.
If we're talking about dramatic breezes, I think you got a little weather condition of your own to worry about, girly.
And, I do think the fog is approaching, Ilva.
Okay, well, I mean, fog is made out of moisture. So I'd like to try and infect that to simply turn it into sleet.
All right. Let's see. That's draw biz?
Yeah.
Okay. So that is, your biz is 2. You have your choice of the Hierophant or the Hanged Man.
Ooh. Actually, I'm realizing. Do I keep the hold I got from last session for my Resnick card?
You may spend this whole... Yeah, you know what? Sure, why not?
Okay. I think I still have one hold left from that, because I only used it once after I did the Resnick thing.
That sounds correct to me.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm sorry. I had you draw things before I remembered that.
Hey, I got great news. There's 2 cards in the deck, so I haven't spoiled much.
Okay, fantastic. So I'll just use that hold instead. Might as well.
All right. See, I do think as the fog approaches, you are able to reach out and, you know, as it would be touching your hand, I think it just kind of condenses and, as you said, turns to sleet. Some of it even forms into ice crystals. I do think the thing is, because of how this fog works, it can't really travel to the rest of it. This is sort of a purely defensive maneuver by its nature. You are able to prevent the fog from touching you, at least for now, but this isn't really doing anything to Cassandra either.
Okay, yeah, I'm sort of like making a sort of do not pass threshold around myself, but not much more. Got it.
Meanwhile, I will say that while that is happening, I think Sammy is just going to throw a punch at you.
Okay. Well, since I did just create some sleet, and I suppose this is where the draws are kind of come into effect, I'm just going to try and... now that there's, like, sleet on the ground, I'd like to sort of move out of the way in such a way that, like... try and just evade to get them to slip on the sleet.
I'm not going to make you draw for this particular one.
Okay.
I think you do evade, and if they were to take the bait, they would absolutely slip and fall, get themselves infected, have to take countermeasures. I think the instant you begin moving, they hold back their arm, they take a step back away from the sleet, and you see... Their little shoulder guy whispering something into their ear. Back over to Abigail. I know I'm bouncing back and forth a fair bit here.
No, all good.
Abigail, have you taken any active measure against your counterpart, or are you still just shooting the shit?
I'm still just shooting the shit. I feel like there's no reason for us to really listen. Again, we're all cool here. Let's just be bros.
Oh, yeah, no, we're absolutely cool.
tell me, do you know anything about us? Or I know you just kind of got back from the past and then were thrust into a whole bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of infer things, you know, time clones, etc. and so forth. But I mean, if you want to give me the rundown, I'm game.
I mean, listen, I know a lot of people do love to do that. I don't know if I'm really the sort who is inclined to kind of give away my whole shit. I can give you a little monologue on my worldview, if you like. Just go real into detail.
Rudy, I think you are, you know, you're not actively paying attention to her so much now, but I think you overhear enough of this to be like, maybe that's a bad idea. Maybe that's a bad idea. I don't know if Abigail.
Hey, Abigail?
Huh? What?
Yeah. Hey, can we huddle for a second? Just real quick. Sidebar.
Oh yeah, sure. Hey. Sorry. What was your name? I don't remember.
Penelope Rodan Lane. I will say it's a little bit rude to just duck out of a conversation like that. Don't you think?
I know. Real quick.
I mean, we're still talking.
I know. I am sorry about that. But let me just sidebar real quick. I'll be right back with you. Yeah. What's up?
Hey. So I don't have all the details, but like her power somehow involves making bad stuff happen if you listen to her speak. So. You might want to hit the eject button on this conversation.
Yeah, I sort of put a finger to my chin and go, no, I've got it.
I mean, are you sure?
Yeah. I do appreciate the warning, but I've got this.
Okay, well, I tried.
Anyway, yeah, you were saying, please go into as much detail as you want. I want to get to know you.
Oh, absolutely. So we're the leaders of the faction called the Bloodstained Blade.
Mm-hmm.
We're not really motivated by ideology or the pursuit of wealth and political power. We just kind of like to fuck shit up.
Okay. Now, how come?
You ever just... Oh, it's just fun, you know? It's fun to fuck shit up, and it's fun to know that you sort of have a material and immediate power, more distinct from political power. Political power is something that... Like it or not, you do exercise through the consent of the governed, even if that consent is attained kind of at gunpoint, you know? I prefer a sort of power where it's more honest, more direct, more do what I want or I'll kick the shit out of you, that sort of thing.
I mean, that does seem like an ideology and also very unsustainable and prone to sudden collapse.
Well, let me ask you this. When you say fuck shit up, are we talking, like, hitting some mailboxes with a baseball bat, or are we talking, like, war crime shit?
Oh, let's say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like an 8.0.
That's pretty close to the war crime side of the scale, not gonna lie.
Well, I'd say it's, you know, close to the war side, trying to avoid the crime side,
right.
Although there are those who would argue that all forms of war are crimes against humanity.
Yeah.
And I do think you are going to go down to Winded, Abigail.
Real quick, can I dredge the Undertow to understand exactly how she's hurting me with her speech?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay.
You have Biz 3.
Yeah.
So that is going to be the Hierophant, mm-hmm. the Hanged Man, and I'm going to shuffle the deck. And because we're at Phantom Clock more than 6,
yep.
that's going to take us to 9.
Yep.
Which means -1 ongoing to all actions that are not receive aid.
Yes, true.
Welp.
But, of course, that doesn't take effect until after I've shuffled the deck and drawn.
Also
so,
true.
You know, don't worry about that quite yet.
Right.
It'd be really funny if we max out the Phantom Clock this session. And
it'd be really funny if we got a fan to fight at the end here.
Really fuck with Maxi. Maxi, are you prepared
Listen,
for that?
Write something.
Okay.
I didn't write anything in my notes, but I have, you know, a general thrust of
Listen,
what might happen.
Maxi has presented me with a version of my character that... stalls everything out by talking about bullshit that causes harm to everyone that hears it. I'm already fighting my phantom.
That is true. She really got your ass there.
All right, so let me just cut the deck one last time, and then... All right, your third card is the Hermit, so that's the Hierophant, the Hanged Man, or the Hermit.
I'll take the Hierophant.
All right, I believe that is a neutral card.
It is, yeah, I discovered something.
Mike getting real sad in the background here.
I'm sorry, I need to discover this, Mike.
Oh.
All right, and for Dredge the Undertow, okay, so here's what I think you get on a neutral card.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You don't know specifically how it works in a way that you can, you know, find a clear weakness to exploit.
Sure.
But there is something about Penelope Rodan Lane that is One, deeply tied to the Undertow itself. She is not necessarily a human in the way that you are. Okay. If you are, you know, that, you know, you got the weird idol on.
I am an inhuman.
But I also think there is something about just her vibe that kind of leaves an impression. The more of her you get, the more it is difficult to get her out of your mind. It's kind of like a song that gets stuck in your head, or like waking up from a nightmare with a particularly gruesome image in mind.
Yeah.
You can't just force yourself not to think about it.
Okay.
And usually I think those images go away over time. I think you get the inkling they're not going to necessarily.
Okay. Yeah. That works. You said what I wanted to hear. So I want to reveal my master plan.
All right. What is your master plan?
My inhuman power, the end. My Eidolon allows me to absorb the powers of the time stream itself. Under my shirt, my like midsection has split into a gross fanged mouth. And I, as she is hitting me with all the psychic energy of her attack drawing on the undertow, I've just been slurping that up and making myself more powerful. And I would like to reveal my master plan with receive aid from Rudy, since they warned me about her power doing weird shit.
Hell yeah.
All right.
So that's
two. So that
two.
Will be two. Is it still from the bottom of the deck?
Or yeah.
Would it be from... Okay. Well, that's the two that I just put on the bottom of the deck, which are the Hermit or the Hanged Man.
I'll isolate myself here.
Okay.
Wait, is pushing an option?
Oh. That's true. Should I push? What do we think? It's more likely to get a positive card than a negative one, since the negative one's in the spread. But there are still five other negative cards.
That's true. Okay, yeah. Hermit's fine.
I'm open to it. I'm asking.
I actually said that because I misremembered Hermit as... I forgot that Hermit is neutral. I thought it was...
I think we should probably just get rid of the Hermit.
Okay, then I'll just take the Hermit.
All right, so your actions isolate you. Let me think about how that's going to happen. I think you are... Yeah, devouring some of Penelope Rodon Lane's energy. And did you say you were counterattacking or just growing in power?
For now, I'm just growing in power. I'm just letting her unbeknowingly feed me.
Then, yeah, I think you're gonna, you know, I don't think she's even paying attention to the thing on your stomach. I think she's just gonna keep going on.
So honestly, you know, it's a matter of singular power, of concentrating that power in us specifically, and, you know, as part of that, we are going to have to make sure that nobody else has access to time travel technology. I know that's kind of been the thrust of the last couple episodes, kind of a recurring theme, is how if everybody has it, it becomes completely unsustainable, but I feel like it bears repeating all the same.
So, Maxie, I got a question about the room we're in. I know we're in the Undertow. I know we're in some weird time travel void. Are there any remnants of the Hymnetical base or the flashback machine, or like what's physically around us?
I think there are some remnants, like the flashback chamber and the immediate area around it are still present. It just kind of looks like they were ripped out of the base and crashed here.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think if you look around kind of in the distance, you see various ephemera from various periods of time, things that have just kind of gotten lost into the undertow. Not anything that seems immediately relevant, but you know, maybe there's something you could do with that.
Okay. I would like to investigate the ephemera.
All right, you have Genius 3,
mm-hmm.
The Star, the Magician, and the Emperor.
Okay. Let's start with the Emperor. What's hidden here?
Let's see, what's hidden here? I think as you kind of spread your consciousness outwards, and maybe Sue and Daisy, you know, look around as well, just kind of scrabbling around, seeing if they can dig things up. I think you see, you know, forgotten artifacts from ancient empires and kingdoms. Mm-hmm. I think you see newspapers that never made it to print, magazines that were tossed into the trash before their time. I think you see just kind of things that have been entirely lost.
Okay.
From, again, all across history.
For the magician, what weaknesses can I exploit?
What weaknesses can I exploit? You see crumbling walls. Once in a while, you'll see a tall statue, or at least the remnants of a tall statue, two trunkless legs, yada, yada, yada. Things that would make it relatively easy to break line of sight or take cover from gunfire. Things that are large and if not sturdy, you know, in many cases they are actively crumbling. They are at least thick enough to block shit.
Okay, so theoretically something could come out of hiding right about now.
Theoretically, yes.
Okay, yeah.
You still have the star.
I do have the star. For the star, I would like to ask who's in control and use perfect deduction to answer it myself. And who's in control is Rudy's good buddy, Lu Bu, jumping out from the rubble to skewer whoever's closest to him.
Oh, who is closest to him?
That's so beautiful.
This is a very good question. I think I'm going to say the person closest to him is Cassandra Xylem. And I think he is moving quickly enough that Rudy Smith suddenly, like, jerks their head around, sees them coming, and you see, like, a flash of something on their face as they're considering, do I try and stop this? Can I try and stop this? And then they decide, no, he'll fucking kill me.
Yeah.
And they step back as Lu Bu just leaps directly into Cassandra Xylem's fog and slashes at her with a halberd that just kind of takes her whole fucking arm off.
Ha ha ha! Fools, you failed to account for these three having a friend and not merely any friend. One of the greatest warriors of all time.
And he dissolves into fog.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Man, no!
I think while the doppelganger Rudy is distracted, Ilva will take advantage of the sleet by, like, sort of taking a running start and then ice skating on it to quickly close the gap and punch the doppelganger in the face.
Now, I will say, you're going, you're getting into close range. That will necessarily mean going through her fog. Do you have a plan to tank that?
Yeah, I'm just gonna, like, keep a sort of close range infection going to turn the fog into ice before it, like, contacts me.
Okay. Then I think we will call this a scrap.
Okay, that'll be three. No. With the phantom clock effect, ongoing, that's two cards.
Oh, I just realized I probably should have done minus one for the investigate as well.
Oh, yeah.
My mind.
I would have had the two positives, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. So your options are judgment or the devil.
Ooh.
So that is going to be a negative scrap.
All right, I guess I'll take the devil.
All right, you get what you want at a price you can't afford. That also knocks Temperance off the top of the deck.
Okay, well, that's not bad.
It goes to the bottom.
I'll take that.
I think this is largely working. It does mean that there is a sort of coating of frost building up on your skin and clothing as you move forward, but you're not, like, you know, cutting yourself off of the wall or anything like that. And by doing that, you are able to get close to Cassandra, and I think as you are just about within striking distance, she's going to say, oh, well, you know, this feels a bit cheap of me, but I guess all's fair in love and war, right? And her severed arm, she is going to just drop to the ground, grab it, and the whole thing is going to dissolve into a tendril of fog that lashes at your face, and kind of a chunk of your cheek is going to dissolve into water vapor, Ilva, which is going to take you down to battered.
Oof.
Although you were wearing a gas mask, right? Are you still wearing that?
I'd imagine I'd still have it on.
All right, let's say it's not your cheek then. Let's say it gets a chunk of your wrist.
Okay.
Your wrist and forearm in general, I'll say.
Oof.
Not enough to, you know, completely incapacitate that arm, but enough that, like, there's clearly just a chunk missing. It's not even that there's, like, meat there. It just kind of looks like the skin starts...
Like I've got a weird divot
in a concave
there.
Bit. Yeah.
Okay. Someone took a router to my arm.
Mm-hmm. And I also think that while you are sort of recovering from that, Rudy now has an opening. Excuse me, not Rudy. Snap now has an opening and is going to bum rush you. And this time, I think they are taking very deliberate, kind of like stompy steps to reduce the risk of slipping.
Okay.
Just slow them down a little bit.
I'd like to just fucking tackle alternate me.
All right, that is, I think, also functionally a scrap. So with minus one ongoing, that is one card. You get justice. The situation becomes more fair.
All right, fantastic.
That is a neutral scrap. Top card off the deck, which is the world.
Oh, no!
Rudy, here's what I think happens. I think as you're charging them, Sue and Daisy start talking to you like, I don't know if this is a good idea. What if they just, you know, hit us before we can hit them? That's not a problem as long as we're going so fast they can't possibly stop us, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. They're trying to maintain their footing on thick ice. Like, this is the cleanest shot I'm going to get.
I suppose that does make sense, and we are catching them. I suppose it's like Go, where if you can catch somebody else in a pincher before they can catch you. Or am I thinking of Reversi? It's one of those ones with the stones of two opposing colors, you know?
Othello?
You mean Go?
Othello and Reversi are the same thing, and I already fucking said Go. That was what I started with. Just fucking move it! That's the only Go you gotta care about is go now!
All right,
and,
going.
Yeah, Rudy. Rudy, I think you sprint at, like, the highest speed you can manage. I think once you hit the sleet, you definitely start slipping, but that does end up moving you forward even faster in cartoonish fashion. And I think Sammy, like, realizes you're coming and whips around to, like, roundhouse kick you in the stomach. They do nail you in the stomach, and it doesn't feel good. It's gonna take you down to winded. But I think as planned, the momentum is sufficient that you are still able to just barrel directly into them, tackling them into the ground. The two of you slide some considerable distance away from Cassandra and Ilva. Now, I have to ask.
Uh-huh.
Abigail, are you still just like kind of looking at your counterpart and listening to her monologue?
Is she reacting at all to the fact that I do not seem to be succumbing to her power as quickly as I should be?
No, what do you mean by that?
Well,
that voice does not come from her. That voice comes from inside your head.
Okay, but that was Luke asking Maxie. That wasn't Abigail asking.
Oh, okay. Yeah, pretend I didn't say that. No, she doesn't appear to be reacting.
Okay. In that case, I'm just going to keep, smiling and nodding along and continue to absorb power off of her trying to, get me.
Boy, you're really just kind of standing there, huh?
I mean, I'm just engaged in this conversation. I try to be an active listener, especially to myself.
Well, I'll tell you what, I should probably get a little closer. You know, I feel a little awkward to having this conversation at such a distance, right?
Oh, yeah, by all means, get in here.
All right, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
honestly, I think I reach out for, like, a handshake, because you know what? We really should have gotten that out of the way at the start.
Oh, you know what? Absolutely. And I think she's going to take your hand and just pull you in close so that your eyes are kind of, like, centimeters away from her eyes, and all you can see is yourself reflected in the reflection of yourself, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. Yeah, this seems like as good a time as any to go ahead and use Drag Out the Darkness. So I can reprogram, I can draw Biz to reprogram someone's Eidolon, and with, by spending two holds on this master move, I can program it to do something explicitly violent. And I just want to force her Eidolon to start screaming and inflict her with her own thing and just scream and scream and scream. I want her head to pop scanner style.
Okay, you handed me a bit of a conundrum with this one. I want to make sure that I have the wording exactly. Like, I want to make sure I am doing right by your intent.
Sure.
This is hinging specifically on using her Eidolon's power against her, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Do I even make you draw for this? I think it would be unfair to make you draw for this.
Interesting.
And I'm not going to make you spend hold either accordingly.
Okay.
What I think is going to happen is you do communicate directly with her Eidolon insofar as it is something separate from her, and there is an unearthly screaming. Would you say that it is like a tangible screaming, or is it only happening in her head? Because that's an important distinction here.
That's a good question. I think in my mind it was going to be a tangible screaming, but I was going to kind of use my own Eidolon to shield myself from it.
Okay, but not anybody else.
Well, they're over there.
Okay, yeah. Then I think
the fog will muffle sound, you know.
I think everybody here, both the bloodstained blade and the last few surviving remnants of him to Nicol,
yeah,
are going to hear an otherworldly scream. And I do think Penelope Rodon Lane is at the center of that scream. I think you can see her ears bleeding a little bit. You can see her eyes glaze over entirely. They are not kaleidoscope eyes. They are just solid, milky white. And then as the scream dies down, you think for a moment that she's about to collapse to her knees.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens instead is the haze lifts from her eyes, and they are shining more brilliantly than before. And I think she's just going to say, "Boy, you really make some bad decisions, huh, girl?"
I feel like I make good ones, TBH.
Well, I mean, I suppose it'll be good in the long term. I should introduce myself. We haven't met. I'm Penelope Rodon Lane.
No, we met. We were talking for a minute there.
Well, you know, just because I want to be a good sport about this, I feel like I can break the rule that my other self talked about earlier regarding explaining all my shit. See, the way that my Eidolon works is I just wiggle myself real deep into your brain and then start hollowing it out until there's nothing left, and then I'm free to fill the void. I'm afraid all that you just did was hollow out Penelope Rodon Lane and put Penelope Rodon Lane in there. Kind of like if you made a jack-o'-lantern and then just poured pumpkin guts in.
So you're like a superposition of like a whole fucking bajillion of you.
I mean, it's just kind of the one at a time per person.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if it...
But so,
but anyway...
But okay, but if you die, basically you replace yourself. Am I getting the right idea?
Well, it's not a question of death, and oh god, she's gonna start monologuing again.
I'm like, you know, I don't really care about the specifics. I think I get the basic idea. What I'm hearing...
Oh no, I'm happy to go into detail.
No, I think I've got it, because what I'm hearing is that you're a renewable resource, bitch, and my tummy mouth cracks open so wide that, like, my bodysuit, like, rips open, and I'm just a giant mouth, and I just want to consume her.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Vor's back on the menu.
This can't possibly be the first time we've had Vor on the show, right?
Oh, no.
No, not even
no.
close.
That's why I said back on the menu.
Back in season one, Joshua ate that PSP and we got a little colonoscopy cam.
Yeah, I was accidentally the first one to initiate it.
Oh, right. That's true. You weren't just looking through his tummy. You threw your Eidolon, you were in his tummy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, okay. Abigail, I assume you're going to want to use Card Shark, because otherwise you'd have to push.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'll draw two biz here.
All right. That is the High Priestess or the Lovers. I believe both are neutral.
Both are neutral. Do those belong to anybody? Is there... Okay,
nope.
No.
Neither one does, no.
I think High Priestess makes more sense here.
All right, High Priestess. The supernatural acts through you. It sure fucking does, girl. So I think she is genuinely caught off guard. You are just going to rip your body open and consume her. And you consume her whole. She is torn to shreds. There is no longer a Penelope Rodon Lane. Outside. Because in your head, you're going to hear,
boy, I really feel like you're just not, you're kind of slow on the uptake with this whole essence hollowing out your brain thing. Look, have you ever read Chainsaw Man?
No, I understand what you think you're doing. I just think I'm cool with it and it's not going to work.
Okay, yeah, no, let me try something real quick.
And I think you just kind of get an image in your head of her kicking something and then your left arm jerks like you had a spasm. And I guess this is as good a time as any to ask Abigail.
Yeah.
What is your Psychonauts mind palace look like? By the way, don't buy Psychonauts right now. They're good games, but
Microsoft.
Yeah,
Microsoft. And also they're a shit company in general.
It's unfortunate.
It's the best shorthand for what you're trying to get at.
Right. Go find a used copy of Psychonauts 1 at your like local retro game store. For the PS2, though.
Luke, I'm going to make you take damage for making me feel old. Anyway, yes, what does your Psychonauts Mind Palace look like?
My Psychonauts Mind Palace, okay, I think it is a long, very ornate hall, kind of like polished marble floors, tall, like Roman columns. There are sealed doors on either side of the hall, but the whole hall is kind of dim. There are cobwebs on everything, and at the very end of the hall is this very, like, ostentatious throne that is, like, there's, like, a tarp over it that's, like, covered in dust and cobwebs.
Okay, so what does it say about your mind that you just kind of aren't using it ever? Because that's the impression I'm getting here.
Oh, I mean, it means that I'm just, listen, I'm biding my time.
Well, you ain't gonna be biting much longer.
Also, we'll point out that you tried to make me kick and I punch, so who's stupid here? Sounds like you.
Okay.
Anyway,
when I kick, I was not
speaking of like playing it cool. So what's, I just want to make sure I know the position of both Rudy and,
oh, and because that was a neutral scrap, I need to make sure.
Yeah, down to battered.
To discard the top deck, and yeah, you're down to battered. Sorry. Now go ahead.
What card did we lose?
The Fool.
Okay. So I want to double check the position of the other two doppelgangers and Rudy real quick.
Okay. So Rudy is currently on top of their doppelganger Snap.
Okay.
They're just kind of on the ground. I think maybe tussling a bit, kind of throwing punches at each other. And I think their Eidolons are also just kind of throwing punches at each other. And it's 2-on-1, but you know, the one is kind of as strong as the two. So that doesn't account for much. And I think you are just kind of stooped over, still in the sleety area, not too far from Cassandra Xylem, who is, I think, you are kind of stooped over in the icy area, not too far from Cassandra Xylem, who is still, you know, mostly trying to maintain her distance and just lash out at you with fog tendrils whenever you get a little bit too close for her taste.
Okay. Well, I think what I would like to do is while, so Cassandra is busy focusing on like sort of lashing out at me and staying away. Like, I kind of feel like maybe they're not paying attention to what's underneath them necessarily. I think maybe the sleet has started to just slowly creep further towards them, and I'd like to have it erupt into sort of icicles from the ground to stab them.
All right, I think you are taking careful aim to strike directly at a target's critical weakness, so this is going to be a snipe.
Ooh boy, my elegance is one. So I think I should probably use one of my ties here, because that'll at least
prevent you from having to advance the phantom clock?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Which one are you picking?
I think So I have ties with Abigail, Rudy, and Sue and Daisy. I'm trying to figure out, I think either Rudy or Sue and Daisy makes the most sense in this scenario.
Maybe Rudy kind of coming out of nowhere to tackle Sammy kind of like might have distracted her briefly.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking as well. I'll use my tie to Rudy, which is Rudy is hard to follow, but effective.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate. So top card off the deck is strength. You triumph through force.
Woo!
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. I think between the scream of her colleague slash boss and Rudy and Sammy just kind of tussling on the ground and nearly bowling her over in the process as well, I think Cassandra does not notice as a patch of ice forms directly underfoot. And then I think all you have to do is kind of lunge forward the way that you'd try and like surprise a child. And she takes a step back and does slip pretty badly, just goes ass over elbow. And I think you can probably infect her through the patch of ice, honestly.
Yeah, I'd like to go ahead and use Outbreak.
Outbreak is...
When an uninfected target comes into contact with an infected target, you may choose to transfer that infection to the uninfected target. So I think that'll get rid of the sleet and the sort
of
like...
But also she's just got like a patch of ice crawling up her back now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, that I think is just considered part of the snipe in this instance, so I'm not going to make you draw separately for it. I think as soon as... you start doing that, you see a look of panic on her face. She's going to scramble to her feet, and like at first her instinct is to try and claw off the ice, but even if she could reach it, which she can't, that's not going to do any good. And she's like,
oh geez, well I guess I should have considered that, huh? Wow, you're actually pretty clever all things considered.
Yeah, people usually underestimate me because I mostly stay in the background. I just kind of do my job.
Yeah, no, really I know how that is.
But you really should have been more careful. I can be pretty mean. And then I'd like to freeze all of her internal organs.
Now, this one I think will be a separate draw.
Yeah.
Would I consider this a scrap since it's an... would it be a biz... I think this one would be a biz draw since it is purely an extension of your infect.
Okay, give me the one.
Right, and I also think that as you're doing this, she is going to just kind of scramble forward and be like, don't worry, I can be pretty mean too. And you realize immediately, she is going to try and rip off your gas mask. And you have drawn the Empress. And that is, you create something neutral.
I'll take it.
I think... Yeah, as you are successfully, like, pushing your ice, not, around the surface area of her body, but deeper and deeper into her body. To do that, you do first have to, penetrate all the skin, penetrate the layer of muscle, reach the organs themselves, and that's a little slower because of, like, cavities and whatnot. And as this is happening, I do think you are sufficiently focused on that, that she is able to just run in, tear off your gas mask, and then her remaining arm, she dissolves into fog and shoves it down your throat. So just imagine like a split screen here of two sets of lungs, one gradually becoming frozen over, turning to ice completely, and the other respirating a fog that turns it gradually into more fog, which then spreads out through the rest of your chest.
I assume that this puts me to desperate.
This is going to take you to desperate, yeah. Okay. And I'm going to say, I think you are able... Let me check my notes real quick. Yeah, I think what happens is, as you see her like running short of breath, her whole body becoming pale and frosty, she is going to just explode into mist entirely. She has no physical form. I think on reflex, you are able to scramble away and get to kind of the very edge of her area of influence. Problem is, there's also a lot more fog, so that area of influence is considerably bigger. plus side, you don't think she can see you or anyone? Because she's just kind of hovering now and spreading out. You're going to have to get that that fog out of your body if you want to survive this.
I think while I think about what I want to do next, Mike.
Yeah, it's been a bit since you checked in with Rudy. How's Rudy doing, Mike?
Okay, so this is not an elegant way to handle the situation, but Rudy just tackled this doppelganger and is on top of them, and they're like fist fighting. I think I'm just gonna try and strangle them.
All yeah, right,
can't beat the classics.
See, that's going to be that's just gonna be a scrap. So you're drawing one card,
yeah.
I think. That is the moon. Something unknown or unknowable interferes. I think... This is... Oh, are you going to push?
How much of the deck is left?
Like about a third, I think. A third to two-fifths.
Okay.
I don't know if two-fifths is more than a third, but you know.
I think it is. It's 40 versus 33%.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no,
the next
correct.
Card is getting
good,
discarded
good
anyway.
I don't see why not. We haven't really hit any positive cards since we shuffled.
Yeah, I'm gonna push.
All right, Phantom Clock goes to 10. You have drawn the Chariot. You exceed your own limitation.
Nice.
That is a neutral.
I'll take it. I mean, I have to, but I'll take
it. Yeah, also that gets rid of my dissonant card, which is nice.
Yeah.
That is going to knock the next card off, which is Death. And the moon is going to the bottom of the deck.
Oh, well.
Rudy, I think it takes a few tries, because at first, when you're trying to strangle them, even now, like, on the ground beneath you, as their Eidolon whispers to them, they are able to, like, perfectly throw their arms up and block your hands and occasionally like land a blow on you in turn. Mm-hmm. It's none of the individual strikes are doing much to you, but the onslaught I think is going to bring you down to battered. But I think eventually as this is happening, suddenly your Eidolon is like, hey, wait a fucking second. This is all cause she keeps whispering stuff to him, right?
Yeah.
Well then, hang the fuck on. What are we doing? Hey, Sue. I'm Sue, right? You are you sure you're not Sue? It doesn't fucking matter. We're a paired unit. Hey, why are we just, you know, fighting her when we could be killing the shit out of her? And I think Daisy is going to pull out a revolver and shoot groovy little Susie three times in the head. I don't think it actually kills her because of, you know, weird Eidolon shit, but I think the sheer shock of it is enough that she just starts being like, oh, what the fuck? You can't just do... That is some absolute bullshit. How long you had that thing? Oh, I've been carrying this thing around since the first fucking episode. It should never come up.
I'm actually learning about this just now, too. Like,
you ain't foreshadowed that for shit. You completely pulled that out of your ass, you did. Kind of similar to another bit of vernacular popular on TV Tropes, if you're familiar. I spend a lot of time on that website, I do.
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, Mike. Keep talking about TV Tropes. Arguing with herself in funny voices.
Look. She keeps talking about TV Tropes. We have to kill her. Daisy had a gun. Sue, do you have anything you've been hiding since episode one?
Well, I don't like to talk about it, but I do have an Odachi.
What's an Odachi?
It's a sword.
Oh, it's like it's a very long samurai sword, and she reaches out into like her angelic dress and just draws this blade that is maybe three times as long as she is.
Jesus Christ.
And I think this one, groovy little Susie manages to dodge and like gets away, and they are just kind of chasing her around now, and she's like, "You can't fucking do this! This ain't fair! I'm completely unarmed! Aren't you supposed to be honorable? You are! No, not honorable! I do good ideas. There's a difference. You can't fucking do this to me! I don't know what you're thinking!" And I think as she's yelling this, Rudy, you are seeing that Sammy's just kind of staring up at you like, I guess you can't do this to me? So I don't know how you're doing it. Can you explain that? I'm kind of lost.
Nah, I'm gonna just fucking deck them in the face and maybe just try and knock them out.
Yeah, no, I think they're out cold. I do think Groovy Little Susie herself is still up and about, but, you know, occupied for the moment. So let's pivot back over to Abigail. Abigail, I think currently Penelope Rodon Lane has pulled out a crowbar and is just kind of like smashing up the various accoutrements of the hallway of your mind, you know, tearing open walls, bashing vases into smithereens, that sort of thing.
Okay, now I'm just gonna try one last time to talk to you like a fucking adult, because I feel like I've been nothing but niceies this entire time, and you've been a real asshole.
No, you've been extremely niceies. I really appreciate you letting me talk to you at length.
And, like, you haven't reciprocated in the slightest. It just feels really shitty of you.
Well, no, listen, I apologize. Have I not been listening? You can talk to me if you like.
I don't need you to play fucking word games here. You know what I'm doing. You know what you're doing.
What?
All right, you know what? I tried. So, fuck you, and, see you in the funny papers. And, I think the hallway, like, she, like, rips up, like, a floor tile, and there is just, like, liquid underneath as, saliva begins to pool up, and giant fangs start to burst through the stone columns, and the entire, hallway begins to crunch down on her like a hallway-shaped mouth.
Now, this is just kind of disgusting, you know that?
I tried to have a conversation with you, and you won't stop being an asshole, so I don't want to fucking hear it.
I'm just saying maybe people would listen to you more if you weren't, like, doing this whole grotesquery. I feel like, you know...
I wasn't doing the grotesquery until you start... No, fuck you, and I just got crunch.
All right, this is going to be a scrap, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think.
Yeah.
You have card sharks, that's gonna be two.
Yep.
The tower, something terrible happens, or the sun. You are given cause to celebrate.
Give me that sun, baby.
Okay, let's see. I think, yeah, you are just fucking munching her. Munching this psychic projection into your brain.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think at first her attitude is like,
I mean, this is just your mind. Like, I can't be gotten out of your mind. I don't know what you attempted. Ow, motherfucker, that really hurt. Do you ever fucking, oh God, do you ever brush these things? I guess you don't. They're just a mental sort of allegory rather than something that the fuck. Ow, shit, ow.
Yeah, you dumb piece of shit. You realize this can work both ways, right? You're trying to hollow me out and take me over. I'm absorbing you and taking you over.
And I don't think she has a chance to respond to that because I think you just completely crunch her into kind of like a little compact cube like a garbage compactor would make. I think you're just fine for right now. I do think that whole thing took a bit out of you since you were
kind
of chewing apart part of your own brain. I don't think it's going to like hurt you in the long run, but yeah, I think you're taking a second to recover.
Yeah.
Ilva.
Yeah?
You still have that fog in your lungs.
I sure do. Here's the question. How would I get rid of that in a way that is clever?
You know what I think is a real good idea? I think you should just kind of like, Hang on.
Hey, how'd I get over there?
Oh, fuck. No, this is... Oh, you'll recall earlier that there was a scream. I kind of came in on that. Hey, do you want to make a deal, Ms. Blow? I want to make a deal. How about we make a little deal?
Wait, hold on. Who is this?
I'm your conscience. Maybe you don't hear from me much. I know that you were working for an evil organization before all this shit went down.
I don't listen to voices in my head.
Oh, maybe you should start. I mean, I have a really good idea for how to get that stuff out of your lungs. But you have to promise that you're just gonna keep listening to me forever. Okay? Can we do that?
No. I think Ilva will attempt to fight whatever mental thing is going on by just thinking of like hot ladies in parkas. It's like only wearing parkas. That's the only thing.
How would you know?
Well, because there's no pants.
Sure, okay.
Yeah. And she will just get rid of the fog by like... So, I mean, it's inside her body, and she is, and like the infection is part of Ilva. So I think Ilva is just going to try and turn the fog into like a nice, refreshing shaved ice inside.
Okay, yeah, I think that'll be one more infect roll.
Okay, that's one card.
Two, minus one ongoing, yeah. You have the Wheel of Fortune.
Ooh.
You are at the mercy of the fates.
Okay. I'll take it.
Okay. Here's what I'm thinking is going to happen, Ilva. I think you are able to turn the fog into shaved ice inside of you. It is going to accrete in your lungs, but it's not going to do any more damage to them. It is going to fill up your stomach. It is going to... It's going to clog your heart a little bit, but honestly, that's kind of the least of your problems right now. You can see a surgeon.
Yeah. Whatever.
I think the bigger problem is between your own, you know, the way that your own Eidolon works and the way that this is just an Eidolon that is naturally infectious, it is still going to turn you to ice in a bit of a more tangible way than before. I think you are not necessarily... frozen to the point that you cannot move at all, but I think as ice overtakes your entire form, every bit of flesh and clothing turning to ice, and even the last bottle of RC Cola you had on you,
no.
Just in case of emergency,
no.
Yeah, you're not opening that. That is frozen over. You are just kind of a moving ice golem, entirely constructed of the stuff, and I do think that is going to make it pretty hard for you to move, and also... pretty considerable chip risk, but you know, it could be worse. Rudy.
Yeah.
I think as all this is going down,
mm-hmm.
You see Groovy Little Susie suddenly pivot and jump towards Sue and Daisy, tackle them. They roll towards you in a big cloud of dust, bowling you over. And when the dust settles, there are now four people standing on your chest. There's one that looks like an angel, one that looks like a demon, one that looks like an angel-demon hybrid, and one who looks like a person in a shitty ghost costume.
I'm sorry, who is this?
I think in unison they're all going to say, "We're your Eidolon, dumbass." And then I think the demon is going to throw a punch at the demon-angel hybrid, who's going to hide behind the ghost, who's going to go, "Oh, well, that really doesn't seem necessary."
Wait, ghost, where did you come from?
I don't understand the question. I'm part of your Eidolon. I think it's called Tutti Frutti, or no, it's Tutti Frutti.
No, hold on. I'm confused now because she was theirs, and you weren't here before.
I was whose? Huh? What are you talking about?
You were Sammy's Eidolon.
Never heard of him. Them, excuse me, shouldn't have misgendered him.
Okay, hold on. Can I dredge to try to figure out what the fuck is happening?
Okay, I will say your biz is one. So, do you want to use a tie?
Yeah, I'll use my tie with Abigail because I suspect that this has something to do with the whole Penelope horse shit.
All right. So you have drawn the Hanged Man.
Okay, sure.
That is a negative card. You must make an impossible choice.
Yeah, hit me.
All right, hang on. We can solve this easy, like. It's like those old logic puzzles, right? You know, one of us always tells the truth, one of us always tells lies. That old gubbins.
Sure?
I see. She's saying that two of us are clearly imposters and two of us are for real, and you gotta figure out which two of us are legit... by asking the perfect question that only the real ones can answer properly.
I think that's a really good idea. That sounds like... that sounds foolproof to me.
Okay.
I'm not... hang on. Have we thought this all the way through? Hey! Three against one, three against one, lady. It's democracy, innit?
Uh-huh. Okay. Oh boy, I need to think about this. Fuck. Okay. What's physically near me right now?
Let's say, because I didn't get a chance to say this earlier, I think after, you know, tackling and sliding with Sammy across the undertow and various other movements that everybody has made throughout this whole kerfuffle, you have actually ended up near what you immediately recognize as a Lockheed 10E Electra monoplane from the early 20th century.
Wait, like an airplane?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm going to climb into that thing. And
there's already a woman there, and I think you wake her up.
Oh, wait a second.
We found Amelia Earhart. Huh? Oh, who are you exactly?
No time to explain, and I'm going to throw her out of the plane.
Amelia Earhart just, like, tumbles on the ground outside.
Okay, I'm going to climb into the thing, I'm going to start the engine, buckle the seatbelt that I assume is there? I don't know about old-timey planes.
Let's say there's a seatbelt, fuck it.
Okay, here's my question for the four of you. Where should I go?
I'm not sure there are a lot of places you can go. This is kind of a vast expanse of nothing.
I say you go as high as you can, and then turn straight down and plummet this thing directly into the fucking ground. I think it's already been foreseen that this whole question is just kind of an excuse to get us to show our true colors, so you're not actually going to go anywhere necessarily, unless, of course, me saying so makes you decide to change your mind. But, you know, obviously when you start getting into that, predicting the future starts becoming a real, real mess of trouble.
What time of year is it?
Okay, so
New Zealand's real nice. I heard New Zealand's real nice this time of year. I think you can get pretty great Ethiopian food there.
It's literally no time of year.
Okay.
Time void.
So, you two newbies aren't even gonna, like, actually try and pretend that you were, like, Sue and Daisy. You're just kind of here now.
I don't understand the question.
Right. I'm gonna grab the Angel Devil hybrid and just throw it into the propeller.
She is shredded into a mix of feathers and brimstone. Oh, Jesus, what the hell?
Yeah, that wasn't really a puzzle. You guys weren't really trying.
Well, we weren't trying to impersonate them. I didn't think we needed to do that. I was just trying to pretend like we'd always been here and there with the imposters, man.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna throw the ghost into the propeller.
I think with that, the bloodstained blade has been entirely defeated. And you are left with a mildly grumpy Amelia Earhart and an empty set of Lubu's armor to show for it.
Well, this was really weird. Okay, so I'm my doppelganger's down for the count. They're not dead, but they're donezo, I think.
I guess you still got that fog of Cassandra Xylem, but, you know, practically speaking, you can just kind of skirt around that. Just don't go in it.
Okay, and what's Penelope up to right now?
I'm just a mess of, like, my whole body is just one big maw, and I kind of, like, claw my way over to you guys and just, like, oh, yeah, she's dealt with.
I have an idea for what to do with my current situation.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, so, well, this isn't going to be Ilva talking out loud. This is more like, hey, to Maxie, I have it. I think I know what I want to do next here. Is that, so right now I am both infecting and also being infected and turning into ice quite quickly. So the other, my doppelganger is currently just fog.
Just a big old haze of fog laid out over the battlefield.
Yeah, which begs the question, how does she know what's happening anywhere?
She doesn't.
My sense is that she probably knows what's happening because, like, she can sense vibrations, such as from my heartbeat or people walking around.
Oh, okay.
So, I would like to reveal my master plan in that I am intentionally letting myself get turned into ice to essentially go into a hibernative state so that it seems like I'm dead. So my doppelganger thinks she's safe, lets down her guard, and that's when my infection fully succeeds and takes her over.
Okay. Yeah, no, I like that. Let's see. Your genius is 2, so this is 1 card.
Yep.
The tower. Something terrible happens.
I'm going to push myself.
All right. I forget. Does pushing come from the bottom or the top of the deck on Ready for Anything, Luke?
I also always forget that. I think... Let me read the exact text to push yourself. When you absolutely need to succeed at something and force yourself beyond your normal limits, you're pushing. When making any other move, you're unsatisfied with the cards. You may instead describe what you do to overextend yourself. Take the Phantom Clock and play the top card from the Fate deck without looking at it first.
Okay.
All right. That is Judgment. Your failures catch up to you.
Okay, well, I think I'm actually facing death for real.
All right. Ooh, let me... How are your past failures going to catch up to you? I know exactly what's going to happen. Ilva, I do think your plan is going to succeed at first. I think you are going to put yourself into a perfect hibernative state. I think, you know, she has no normal senses, but I think on a spiritual level, Cassandra Xylem can sense that you are dead. And her body begins to coalesce again, the fog retreating. Even her missing flesh reforms, absorbing more of the fog until there's very little of it left to put her back in one piece. Then I think she dusts herself off. All right, well, that's not how I would have liked to have done it, but as long as I'm alive. And then, do you just want to eat her, Luke?
Yeah, I just want to bite her head off.
Yeah. And I think, that takes her down for the count. And I think as... The three of you, well, two of you and an ice statue are kind of catching your breaths. You hear in the distance someone say, "There's the bastards who screwed it all up. Come on, guys, let's avenge the Soviet Union." And Leon Trotsky, at the head of a mob of a dozen people.
Why did he sound like Ross up. Perot?
Yeah, that's what I thought was going on, too.
I only have so many voices I can do. Okay?
I was like, when did Ross Perot become a communist? What the fuck did we do?
It's
a lot.
Everything's in balance. We turned Stalin into a monarchist, so now Ross Perot is a communist.
Ross Perot talks more like this, and I'm overdoing the Texas accent, but you get it. Yeah. And Leon Trotsky talks more like this. They're similar, but distinct.
I cannot tell.
No, they're extremely distinct. Okay. I understand. Anyway, speaking of monarchists, I want to fold.
Okay, what? So you need 3 more, right?
Yeah.
Oh God. The Navigator, the Alchemist, and the Beast.
Great, I'll take the Alchemist as my Eidolon transforms into its final form. That dusty hallway, the damage that Penelope did to it begins to heal itself. The saliva drains away, the teeth retract. The spider webs burn away in golden light that fills the chandeliers above. The tarp burns away, revealing a golden glittering throne as my mental like projection of myself takes its... seat there as I transform into Your Majesty. I can transform any timeline I touch into a timeline that I have dominion over.
Okay. So as you're doing this, I think Leon Trotsky and his dozen guys keep running up, and he is just going to cock his arm back and hurl an ice axe as hard as he can directly at the neck of the frozen Ilva Blome.
And I want to reach out a hand and just, like, block the axe with just a fingertip, because as soon as I touch it, time is rewritten so that the axe and its wielder was never here.
Okay, I think... Let's call that a biz draw.
That makes sense.
It's not necessarily scrap, but you know.
Yeah.
That is the lovers or the moon.
Let me double check how a certain move works. Da 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 da. Making sure I'm not saying something incorrect here. Still respect the polarity of the card. I think I can get away with calling this negative if I take the moon, but I'm going to use if cars are frogs to interpret the moon instead of you and say that okay. Abigail's new form as the goddess of time is the unknown or unknowable thing that interferes with this.
Okay. I think, yeah, you have not yet gotten used to your powers as they have developed, both from evolving over time and from consuming another version of yourself in full.
Yeah.
I think you are drawing in energy from the undertow around you, and as that ice axe is in flight, it stops dead. And then, I think rather than reshaping the timeline as intended, there is a little halo hovering directly over your head. And it says to you,
"All right, girly, time to pay the piper." I know I've been doing a thing where I kind of extend even consonants that aren't S's, but it's too late to go back on it now, right?
Buddy, you're really blowing like your big moment here.
Wrong answer. You should have said, it's never too late.
And I think time is going to reverse around you as you are going to watch. It's unfolding as though the you that was here before was an entirely separate person. You are just watching everything go backwards. You know, the fight unfolds in reverse, and then the undertow fades away in favor of the two bases lodged into each other. Then just the one base. And then, well, time gets a little complicated after that. There's a lot of stuff going on all at once. It's kind of hard for you to take in. Like I said, you're getting used to this.
Yeah.
Then time as a whole starts going back. You see the centuries pass in the blink of an eye. You see the industrial age get unbuilt. You see wars and plagues unhappen as corpses stand up and live their lives in reverse. You see humans be unborn, replaced by, you know, proto-hominids and then simpler mammals that haven't even begun to use tools. And then you see meteors like coming up out of the earth, everything reducing itself bit by bit to a single point that has not yet formed the Big Bang. And then when all is said and done, I think you find yourself in the undertow, still with Ilva and Rudy. But there is no outside the undertow right now, and even the undertow itself feels much smaller. It is just kind of a single unfurnished room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Huh.
Are all our enemies defeated?
Well, your enemies don't exist yet, so that's a kind of a meaningless question.
How's Ilva doing?
Yeah, she's still ice?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
What are the properties of ice, Abigail? Can ice talk? Can ice think?
I mean, probably not.
I think what Maxi is indicating is that here at the beginning of all things, you get to decide that, the answer to that question.
Well, she's asking you.
I mean, I think what ice does is it spreads. And I mean, I feel like this has been an incredible victory against impossible odds.
I would certainly say so, considering everything that just happened and also everything prior to that.
And I think what I do is, from all the stuff my ice has infected, I sort of freely freeze the things that I want to keep, protecting it from the effects of this unstable time zone, and I will create, you know, with help from my allies, I will help create a new stable singular timeline where I will infect the world and say Ilva Blum and her allies are the founders of, fuck, what was our organization?
Him to Nicole.
Him to Nicole.
Of Him to Nicole.
yeah, I think, you know, the undertow kind of begins to expand again as the world around it takes shape, first in ice entirely, and then sort of a covering of ice melts away, revealing the forms underneath. Pretty much all of them different from what was before, but considerably more stable in a sort of broad metaphysical way. And I do think eventually the three of you do find the undertow fading around you, still present, but retreating into the background once more as you are standing in the central office of an aquatic base in the year 2101.
Huh.
And that's how it's done.
You say that, but, like, that was all pretty convoluted, right? And, like, that only happened because you spent so much time dicking around in the past, killing people and whatnot.
I mean, that's...
you had to have the time to, like, grow your thing, right?
I mean, that's time travel for you. Like, in fact...
Was I dicking around, or was I manipulating everything to one perfect singularity?
No, you were dicking around. Yeah, no, 100%.
Who can say...
I think you're cool, but we were all definitely just dicking around.
Yeah.
Who can say?
We can.
Anyway, I kind of narrowed down everything to the best parts, so that way we don't have to worry about a stupidly huge convoluted mess anymore. Well, at least for now.
Yeah.
Let's try to keep it a little simpler from now on.
I do have one thing I want.
Yeah, whatever.
Can we still rescue Lu Bu from his execution? I really like that
absolutely.
Guy.
Absolutely!
I mean, I did freeze Lu Bu so we could save him from the effects of the timeline, so he is here.
Oh, awesome, awesome. He's like my favorite guy.
I mean, yeah, he's pretty great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you three as well. You're such wonderful friends.
Oh, well, bad first impression. I think Napoleon was my favorite guy, though.
Do we want to get him? Like, do we want to just bring everybody in?
I did say all of our allies.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you doing the Game Master Anthony now?
Yes, absolutely.
That's right. Bring it in, everybody.
The
Bring
thing
it
about
in,
Game
everybody.
Master Game Master Anthony is that he always did have a point. I mean, who wouldn't want that?
And then the camera pans back to see the true puppet master at the center of it all, who's really working to heal the timeline and resolve all of the loose threads in our campaign. And it's Game Master Anthony, and he turns to the camera and winks.
No.
You know what? I don't... He's not getting all of them. I'm going to give Game Master Anthony Princess Peach. How about that?
Okay.
Let's rewrite the timelines so the Princess Peach is real and Game Master Anthony's girlfriend.
Sure.
Eidolon Playtest is produced by Audio Entropy. You can follow us on Blue Sky and Tumblr at Eidolon Playtest and on the official Audio Entropy Discord server. Link in the episode description. If you enjoy the show, consider supporting us at patreon.com/EidolonPlaytest. Subscribers get access to playable drafts of the Eidolon RPG, GM notes for each episode, and a bunch of other bonus content. This week, I'd like to give a very special shout-out to our $5 and up subscribers, Christopher Pragados, Olive, Feos, Robert Wilson, Siobhan Peridot Rose, Zach Weatherford, Nathan Bumpani, Elijah Maroney, Hunter Vick, Fire Princess Reviews, Cat with an At, Tautimona, Cleave and Plow, Fiona Finale, Control Salt Delete, LV, August Ray, Johan 159, Super Biased Gary, Ace Warlock, Velvet Dragon, Vermin Fang, Jordan Sam, Abby Lesson 3, and Propagable. Next week is the first episode of Eidolon Adult, a brand new miniseries GM'd by Crystal and guest starring friend of the show, Morgan. That's November 24th for Patreon subscribers and December 1st for everybody else. See you all next time!